Psalm 24 in your Bibles this morning. Psalm 24. In the book of Acts, Paul debated with a group of very secular individuals who realized that there was a force greater than themselves in trying to express to them that it was Jesus Christ, the true and living God that they were seeking. He made this statement: in Him we live and move and have our being. We make choices about what to wear and where to go, but it is God that gives us life. Psalm 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. When the Bible says the earth is the Lord's, it simply means He owns it. It's all His. Now go with me to Psalm chapter 50. Psalm chapter 50. And we'll begin reading in verse 10. The Lord is speaking here and He says this: for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? The answer to that is no. You offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee and thou shalt glorify me. I have some thoughts about that this morning. Unless we are extremely naive or carnal, all our days begin and end with God. God is the source of everything in our life. He made all of this. If in your life there is no God, you must give some explanation for you being here this morning. If not God, from where did you come? Well, you could reach out and embrace the theory of evolution if you wanted to, but evolution cannot explain beginnings. Genesis 1:1 is absolutely compelling to me. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Evolution cannot explain a point to life, a reason for it all. Matthew 5:16 is compelling to me. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a reason why we are here. There is a reason why this earth sustains us. Nothing that surrounds us just happened. There is an intelligence to it all. There is continuity and there is absolute climax to it all. John said this: without Him was not anything made that was made. Paul said, God has given us richly all things to enjoy. God made all of this, and it all belongs to Him. We understand that. When King David stood before God in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, he said this: for all that is in the heavens and earth is thine, both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. In thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Everything you have and everything I have, ladies and gentlemen, belongs to God. I have created nothing of myself. Everything I use and need, God has given that to me. We are just temporary, and everything we have comes from God. Second of all, I have spent this last week thinking of the things that God has given me freely. No bills involved. Let me ask you this. What is your body worth? David said, I am wonderfully and fearfully made. Shakespeare said it this way, what a piece of work is man. The brain that rests in your cranium is a wonderful computer, yet so much more. And your auditory system, how delicate, yet how strong it is. That piano over there has 88 keys. Your ear has 1,500 keys in there. That can tune in 73,700 vibrations a second. What would the bill be for your hearing? My eyes are both a telescope and a microscope. What is that worth? And it cost us nothing. Well, the heart's big news. It's about the size of your fist. It is a muscle, but what marvelous things it does. It takes 5 quarts of blood and sends it on a 22-second journey, taking food one way and picking up waste the other way. Your heart beats 40 times a minute, or 2,400 times an hour, or 36,500,000 times a year. It just keeps beating. You have 100,000 miles of blood vessels in your body. You paid nothing for it. God gave it to you. And your lungs, you breathe 25,900 times a day and you never give it a thought. And what you breathe is God's air. We live on ground that God made. We eat things that God created. We enjoy the warmth from the sun, a million times larger than the earth, 93 million miles away from the earth, which is just right. If we were closer, we would die from the heat. If we were further away, we would freeze to death. It's just right, and it didn't just happen. What's all that worth, ladies and gentlemen? What is a prayer worth? When you can't sleep at night, something's on your mind. Or when you're walking the hospital halls, knowing that your wife has just been diagnosed with cancer. When you get a call in the middle of the night and your entire life changes simply because someone you love has died. What is a prayer worth at those times? We are all surrounded by the goodness of God, and we take it for granted and seldom say, oh God, thank you for all your goodnesses. Sometimes God reaches into our lives and wants something from us. The first thing that God reached into my life for was my soul. Your soul is what enables you to worship and to love and to admire and to blush and to feel humble. When your body is separated from the soul, that body dies. What is your soul worth? Well, the Bible says this, if you gain the whole world and lose your soul, you've lost. That is a profound statement when you understand history and all the wealth that has been and is today. It is not worth the soul of one little tow-headed kid. That's how valuable your soul is. My soul is so valuable, it took the blood of God's only Son to redeem it. Not silver, not gold, not diamonds, not land. On the basis of where you are this morning, has God reached into your life and wants your soul? And you've grabbed his wrist and said, "No, God, that's mine." If you lose your soul, you lose everything. Your soul lives forever. Second of all, after your soul, God wants your testimony. First of all, in baptism, he wants you to give a statement of what salvation means to you, that you were saved because of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's what baptism is a picture of. God says, "I want you to own me publicly. I want others to know that I am meaningful to you." Have you done that? Third, God said, "I want you to be in church. It will be your spiritual family. It will be your spiritual home. It will help you when you're hurting. It will surround you with love." I know that you understand what it has meant to Tina and I over the last week when Tina was involved in a pretty serious accident. And she's fine this morning. That is, she's getting better. But just to have you call and say, "I'm praying for you," it has meant so much to us. This place is a place of singing and worship and reading and challenge, and a place to laugh at times and a place to cry at times. This is a place that God has provided for us. Fourth, God said, "I want a portion of all that you make." It's not much. It's 10%. That is how the church is to be supported. A church is not to beg or gamble. When I get God involved in my finances with the portion that he wants, he blesses the portion that I get to keep. It goes further. It buys more. I'm happier and healthier because of it. And everybody that tithes understands it. David asked, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits that he has given me?" And then he answers his own question. "I will drink the cup of salvation. I will pay my vows now in the presence of all his people." Today would be a good day to do just that. First of all, are you saved? He wants your soul. Have you been baptized? He wants your obedience. Are you serving the Lord? He wants your life. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Lordship of Christ. Oh, Father, thank you for all that he has done for us. Thank you for the fact that he is the one who spoke this universe into existence. He simply spoke and it happened. What wonderful things that represents. Dear Father, I just ask that you might speak to each one of our hearts this morning, that we truly might come into your presence always with thanksgiving in our hearts because of how much you have loved us unconditionally and you have blessed us mercifully. Dear Father, help us. The things that you want from us, that we would say, oh God, yes. I want you to have my soul. I want to be obedient to you. I want to serve you in everything that I do. Father, please speak to hearts this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, ladies and gentlemen. Rick's going to lead us.